Welcome to How Can We Help? The DJ Forward Mix Mastered Advice Podcast for you.
For you, all listening from us.
That's
Mark
right.
And Jackie.
I'm Mark, that is Jackie, and we host this podcast, an advice podcast, yes. And listen, this is the disclaimer we give at the beginning of every episode, but we're not professional advice givers.
We're not quite professional, and if you're looking for professional advice givers, well, you have to pay money for that, don't you? And we are for free, so you get what you pay for, which you're not paying for nothing right now.
Yeah, and here's a little news flash. Most professional advice givers aren't that funny.
Exactly.
They're a little bit slow, unless you like the crude sensibilities of Dan Savage.
I don't really tune into the crude sensibilities of Dan Savage very
He's
much.
He's funny. I just remembered, as soon as I said they're not that funny, I remembered that the most famous advice columnist in North America is known for being funny.
Oh, yeah, 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 that's funny. But anyway, and we're joined today.
We are joined today by a very special guest. It's Toronto's own.
Fabulous
comedy's
comedian.
Finest.
Yeah.
Al Val.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for being here.
Dan Savage reference off the top.
Yeah, really quick off
it's
the top.
It's going to be a good one.
That's
I
right.
I already trust your advice by proxy.
Is Savage their real last name?
Is it? Stefan's nodding. Our producer, Stefan, here as always. Give him a round of applause, everyone. We've got a lot in store for you on this episode. We got a great guest. We got Stefan, the producer, sitting in a new spot.
Yeah, right, that's weird.
And the sun is out in Toronto.
It's hot.
This is the weather in Toronto is so fucked. It's such a gaslight of a weather situation.
It is, because we know it's going to end soon.
We have skipped spring.
But spring's coming next week.
Yeah, we're going to get a taste of summer.
Yeah.
A little stutter step towards summer, and then we're going to settle back into spring.
It's been just enough for the hollyhock weeds in my garden to sprout up.
Yeah.
Which I'm pissed the fuck off
And we
about.
All know about the hollyhock weeds from in Toronto from Drake's lyrics.
We do? How does it go?
I don't know. I think he has a few songs about...
Okay, Al, this is what Mark does. He'll say something like that, and I'm so gullible, and I'll believe everything he says, and I'll be like, oh? And then he'll be like, I don't know.
I mean,
so yeah. Be prepared for that.
I'm exactly funny? That type, so it's just going to be a lot of moments of that.
Of Al and I believing
politely,
you.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's funny to imagine Drake singing about hollyhock leaves. Come on.
I would believe it. I would instantly believe he
Started
would sing
from
about
the bottom
like
a hollyhock leaf.
Yeah, they do. From the bottom of the garden, yeah. Meaning in the dirt. And,
now we're here in your hand, in a gardener's hand.
They're so hard to yank out. They're so robust. They become like a tree stump. Like,
yeah.
I hate them.
Here's how summery it is, to keep it on the garden theme. Normally, the tulips are the first flowers out, mm-hmm. Welcoming spring. They don't need any runway at all. As soon as the frosts die, the tulips prop their little heads out of any crack and crevice you can find in the city.
Yeah.
But immediately, it's so hot out that they're being joined by other flowers.
Like the daffodils? Well, those are usually hand in hand.
I gotta say, I feel like it's tough days for a tulip.
This is what I was wondering was, are days like these bad for the flowers and stuff? Where they're oh shit, let's get started. Oh my God, we're late.
Yes.
And then they overblossom.
Or too soon and then it gets chilly. Happens with birds and squirrels too. Because, usually if it's earlier than this, if it's in like March and it's too warm, then the birds will be like, oh, okay, we can come out, or like our babies can come out of the eggs, and then they're like, ah! And then they're like, freezing.
Mm-hmm. And then you see Toronto's famous shivering birds in the nest of every tree.
And then Drake writes lyrics.
Yeah, he sure does.
Al, do you know much about gardening? Do you garden at all?
No.
No? I'm pretty new to it.
I bought some fake plants.
Oh, well, they set it and forget
that
it.
Counts.
You got to get some real ones. I won't stand for this. I'll give you some real ones.
Yeah.
There are some real set it and forget it real plants.
Okay, good.
Like what? Pothos.
We're talking pothos. Pothos, you put it in the corner of an office, total darkness.
Yeah.
Thrives.
But pothos actually, those are the only plants I can keep alive in my home. They apparently want to die. That's their whole ethos of the pothos, is that they want to die.
Yeah.
And they live in spite of that somehow. But like they are finicky, but like you just have to let them go through whatever they're going through and they will come back. I've had the same pothos from Sarah Hennessy from when she moved to New York, which was in 2017.
Mm.
And
same
it's
one.
Been living in agony ever
yeah,
since.
Yeah, it's a fucking drama queen. It's so like one little thing will change. One little, like last week, for example, when it started warming up, it's like, ugh, and its leaves are all curly. And I'm like, cop on. We all know you're going to get through this. It's happened before. It happens every year. Like just, oh, and I have a peace lily too that never makes any flowers anymore. It hasn't made a flower in like years.
Same situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Just drama.
Yeah. I guess peace is out the window.
Oh, yeah, there's no peace. There's no peace in this home.
Because that promise is dead.
It's a protest against Russia, I think. Probably.
It could be,
It
won't.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
That is beautiful. Okay, I understand that.
It is nice. Yeah, Pothos, I like this drama queen. Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying. They are a little bit snarky sometimes. My Pothos is right now, they're like... They're rebelling a little bit against me.
By going curly and wilty?
Some of them are going yellow and dying.
Right.
Specifically the ones that just live in the water. You can just put them in water and then they root into the water.
Cool.
It's awesome.
I do that to propagate them. Like I have the same mother plant that's like has all these babies. It's
we do love mother.
We love mother. Oh, and I have a spider plant that like Netland, my cat. Like spider plants are like... hallucinogenic to cats, and they're not lethal. Like they're a little bit toxic, like how mushrooms are toxic to us. So the cats want to like bite them, and mine's hanging like up from the ceiling in a window. And every once in a while, as a treat, I'll lift Netland up to the spider plant so she doesn't bite them because she doesn't have teeth, but she'll kind of sniff and kind of, and then be like, oh my God, like tripping for a minute.
That's absolutely the like settled down white lady version of feeding your cat booze at a party.
I would never feed my cat booze though, yeah.
No, I know, you're too bougie for it. You feed your cat spider plant.
Just a little sniff and a lick. But actually, when I was in high school, I mean, my brother would have these really crazy kind of bush parties because we lived on a big property. And one morning we were all like hungover after this party and a bunch of people had stayed over and we're like, ugh, they're just kind of like getting it together in the morning. And then my cat, FD, Fluffy David, comes into the scene and he's like, he's like walking like, he's like stumbling and like weaving and like looks fucked up. And we're like, what the fuck? What's wrong with FD? And he kind of like flops over and he's just like out of it completely. And we didn't know what happened to him or what's going on with him. And then we brought him to the vet and the vet's like, yeah, something, some toxicity. We don't know. He's okay though. Just keep an eye on him. There's nothing to be done. And then when we got home, like later that day, we saw, this is so disgusting, but this like puddle of vomit from the party the night before, some kid had puked up a bunch of boozy puke, and FD was an outside cat and had got into it and was and like ate this boozy puke and got shit faced off of it.
Oh, what is this cat from frickin' the cast of Jackass?
Oh my
This Johnny Knoxville presents cat.
He did have that vibe. He was giving Knoxville this cat. Oh yeah, he was always getting injured. He was like really wild. He was like an outdoor wild boy, very different from Nutland.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
FD, what happened to
him? He lived to be 14.
Oh, wow.
He went the way a lot of cats do, some tumors in his esophageal tumors, which I think my hypothesis is that that's the kind of the risk you run as an outdoor cat because you're eating mice and things outside. And if you're eating rodents, the cats are absorbing the cancerous tumors that are like rampant in rodents in their like digestive and esophageal tract.
Did I ever tell you the story of my girlfriend's friend who shamed me about my lack of knowledge on outdoor cats?
I think so, but let's hear it again because I like this topic.
I used to be terrified of my girlfriend's friends because they would always like big dog me. That was my take on it.
But big dog.
According to my girlfriend, I think everyone's big dogging me.
Can we just quickly define big dogging here? Like making you feel like the small dog?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Just flexing on you kind
flexing,
of thing?
Flexing, yeah, okay. Big dogging me. And this one time we went camping. This is just like, this was the last time I was allowed to use the term big dog referring to other men. She was like, enough.
No more big dog.
We went camping and this like teenager came by on an ATV and asked if we needed wood. And then he drove away and I was like, that teen was big dogging me. And then she was like, no, he wasn't.
You need wood?
Yeah, but the way he was doing
it. So he was basically like, arf, arf, I'm the big dog and I can gather wood. And you are some small inferior dog that doesn't have a clue about where to start with wood.
Exactly, yeah. That was my take on it, that he was kind of giving me some sass and kind of giving my girlfriend a little bit of the come with the big dog
energy.
It's nice
to hear that you're able to relax in the outdoors.
Anyway, so this one time time I was like hanging out, we were like with my girlfriend's friends, and then this one guy was like, well, he was like talking a long time about outdoor cats, and I was like being a very polite listener. I was like, oh, I don't give a shit, but like, you know, oh, interesting, tell me more. And he was like, well, you know, and outdoor cats die younger than indoor cats. And I said, oh, is that because they get hit by cars? And he said, no, Mark.
Oh, God.
That is a big dogging move.
Yeah, I was so taken aback, like, using my name.
Yeah.
Don't ever say my name. Oh, the Roomba's going.
The Roomba.
Oh, my God.
The
it's such a
big
new...
dogging you.
It's big dogging.
This is a new twist. This is a new high-tech twist in our series. Is the it's not the cuckoo clock going off. It's the modern Roomba.
But it's giving cuckoo, though.
Oh, it is absolutely giving cuckoo.
So what did this guy say that the cat's death was from?
He said, no, Mark, it's from drinking from tainted puddles or whatever. Well, he said it exactly like that. He was already starting to doubt his own knowledge as he was saying
like,
it.
No, well, first of all, no, it is huge leaf cars.
I figured it had to be.
Well, what if he thought you were big dogging him,
good
and it
point.
Was just two
well,
two equal sized dogs?
Oh, that is the case with, I would say 95% of big dogging is two insecure men in a feedback loop.
Yeah,
yes,
interpreting each other's behavior. But the issue was, I don't know what the issue is. I mean, that is the issue. You've named the issue. The problem is, I was trying to be so generous. So whatever I was doing that was like releasing, I know more than you.
Was it unintentional?
Totally unintentional. But yeah. Anyway.
Well.
But yeah, two insecure men interacting is like, you could weaponize that.
Yeah. That's like some people do.
Yeah.
That's true.
It really turns into stuff sometimes,
yeah.
You know?
Russia.
Yeah. You de-escalated it.
I can't handle conflict.
Yeah, me neither.
We've talked about me fist bumping tricks. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, we have.
Oh.
Oh no.
I forgot you were fully involved in the tricks
twice.
Thing.
You
oh,
got me twice.
Sorry, Al. I forgot that too.
You got me twice.
Do you want to talk about the tricks thing, or is
yeah,
that something?
Let's talk about Wait, the tricks thing.
Why?
I'll talk about the
first
tricks.
Of all, I just want to say there's no victim blaming here, because why wouldn't you be got? It was he got many, many people.
Well, he preyed on specifically young comedians who didn't know the industry.
Yeah,
which was you at the time.
Which
I'm
was
assuming.
Me at the time.
Yeah,
and you know what? No victim blaming, of course, but like, it's hard not to look back on the whole thing and be like, Val, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Because he promised me that he was like, I know some Hollywood producers in LA and they're looking to cast some hot young new talent. And like, I think you're it, kid. So lay on your stomach and read from the yellow pages. It doesn't matter what you're reading. Just read and just like flick your toes. Just wiggle your feet around behind you. And I was like,
God.
And you know, and he's pointing a camera at my feet.
Oh, sorry,
my face
sorry.
Is,
right. This wasn't like a self-tape thing. This was in person.
In person. The
right.
first time.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And, like for 5 minutes, it was just like Clarence 975. And I was trying to put like an acting flair into it too. Be like, you want me to do a different take? This one's happy. Clarence 974, you know?
Well, you're showing range already.
Yeah. Yeah. I put my all into that audition. And then like a month later, nothing came of that. And then a month, or maybe he came from that, but a month later, he contacted me again and he was like, something happened with the footage. We have to do it again.
Oh, brother.
And I was like, oh, crap. Well, okay. Without thinking twice, without questioning. And so we did it again, this time virtually through
something
like...
Something happened to the footage. It got fucking cum all over it. Can't rewatch this.
Yeah. So I did it again and I didn't hear from him for months again. And I think I told Jeff Leeson. Do you guys know Jeff Leeson?
Yeah.
I told him and he was like, that sounds ridiculous. He couldn't believe it. He was like, that's not a thing.
Like right away, Jeff knew. Like, right, his spidey sense went off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know, because we've talked about this on the podcast before, so we're not giving the full context now, but we have talked about like how Pat Bircher posted to the Toronto stand-up community page, and then all of a sudden a bunch of people, yeah, including yourself, were just like, holy shit, he did this to me too.
Yeah. What went through your head when you, did you see that post in real time, or did someone send you that post?
Is that the moment when you realized,
yeah,
that you, right, had been that tricked? Was
it. I kind of, I just sort of put it, I locked it away into a box. I compartmentalized, yeah, it. I was, yeah, like, well, that was weird.
Can't blame
Let's
you.
Let's not,
yeah,
think about that anymore.
Oh my God.
And then it all made sense all at once. Yes.
And then look at that giant community you became a part of.
Yeah.
Of victims of tricks.
There we like cannot get past the fact that his name is Trix.
Yeah.
And he's now infamous for tricking people. We don't have to put this out if you decide later that you don't want us to, but...
I don't care. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck, oh, yeah, him. Oh, we will. Well, it's not for Trix's sake.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the story of my cowardice is that later at the corner, I looked up and he was there holding his fist out for me. And then in a split moment, I went... and I bumped his
That's
fist.
How confrontation averse Mark
is. That is the example of how cowardly I am deeply. And then I went outside and I felt like so,
yeah,
like so ashamed of myself. It happened again 2 days ago at Yuck Yucks.
What?
Not tricks, but another like local like criminal.
Who?
I don't know.
Wait, let me mouth it.
Yeah. Like a soft boy criminal. I got off stage and I was walking out, and then I looked up and it was, yeah, it was him, and he held out his fist, and it's just that moment where I'm like, if I don't do this, this is going to become a thing.
Right.
That I'll have to really do something about.
But you know what? I think that I understand that thinking in the moment, but also that thing that you are perceiving is going to, you know, precipitate is a normal thing in that person's life. I'm certain of it.
I know.
And so that person has no leg to stand on to say, hey, this guy didn't fucking fist bump me. Let's make a thing of it. No leg to stand on.
But I'm not. Yeah.
But I know what you mean. I know how you feel in the moment.
But it is like, it's like a look. It's like these little glimpses in the mirror where it's like, would I be a hero in a fire? No, I'm a fucking coward. Bone deep cowardice.
I don't like confrontation either, but last night I called someone out on something.
You
not
did?
Someone I know, but I was, Elliot, my husband, was driving me down to Parkdale to a show in his truck. And we were stopped at Queen and Jameson at this light that was like lasting forever. And this guy on the fucking sidewalk that was not crossing in front of us, wasn't taking advantage of the pedestrian light, just standing there. And let me just say that this isn't a guy that's strange that I shouldn't be commenting on. This guy looked like he didn't look like someone that was unwell but I guess maybe he was, I don't know. But he was staring at me with the most hateful and intimidating, just staring. I can't even, I wish the listeners at home could see. He was just like looking like if I wasn't in the truck that he would kill me. Like, and he wouldn't stop. And I look over and I say to Ellie, what the fuck is this guy looking at? And then he wouldn't stop looking at me, and I kept like glancing over, and he just was not breaking eye contact with me. And it was so clear that he was like trying, I don't know why, but trying to intimidate me. And I kept saying to Ellie, is he still looking at me? Yes. I'm like, is he still looking at me? And I look over.
Jackie?
Yeah.
First of all, he was big dogging you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This was the biggest big dog I've ever seen. This was the biggest moment of big dog I've ever experienced.
Okay.
So I rolled down my window and I said, can I help you? Is everything okay?
Wow.
And he was like, huh? And I said, what's going on? Are you all right? And he was like, oh, I thought I recognized you with your beard. And then I was like, what the fuck? Like, did I not tweeze or something? But then I'm like, oh, he's talking to Elliot, my husband. And then he looks past me. But he was never looking at Elliot. He was looking me into the soul. And then he's trying to divert. He goes, I thought I recognized you with the beard. And Elliot's like, me. And he's like, yeah, you from around here? And my husband's like, no. Or no. Ugh. And then nobody said anything. So I slowly started to roll the window back up. Just before the window went back up, he goes, the guy on the street goes, you guys are fucking losers. And then I went to do this show, and then I left the show being like looking over my fucking shoulder, because I don't know what possessed me to do that. Cause it's the arguably the worst time in Toronto to be starting confrontations with random people on the street when people are getting stabbed left and right.
Mm.
But I would not allow this man to be looking at me like this, trying to scare me. I wanted to show him, you're not fucking scaring me, dude. Mm. What the fuck do you want?
Yep.
I wish I was better at that.
But then you know what? The minute you do it, you regret it.
Yeah, totally. And I fixate on it for a week. Like, to be fair, I would have fist bumped Trix too.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I mean?
Me too.
I'm like so bad about that shit.
Yeah.
And like, especially lately, I'm comfortable. I would go everywhere with a mask on, even outside, just because I don't like people staring at me, and people fucking stare right. at me. And it's and I've started to go mask off just to like exercise my fuck it reflex, yeah, you yeah. know, and not care.
What is it called? Exposure therapy?
Yeah. But people are so obtuse about it, and it's exhausting. And I can feel myself like slowly over the course of the day just end up looking at my feet, and it makes me feel like I'm like missing out on life,
yeah,
you know,
not yes.
like looking around smiling at well-intentioned people, but like
right.
you yeah. wouldn't believe the people who have no problem just like full body turning as I'm walking
like they're
by.
Toddlers, like, you know how toddlers yeah. will stare at anyone that's like they've never seen, like someone with maybe limb differences or whatever,
yeah,
and then the mom, you hear the parents be like, don't stare. That's the most fundamental thing to learn as a human being. But yeah, I hate that for you because you're such a positive person, and you're probably, because of those few people, you're missing out on connections with cool,
yeah,
nice people that know how to live in society.
There's nothing happening on the street that you need to be a part of.
So you would wear a mask before more often than you would normally, you
yeah.
think?
When they imposed those masks, when they lifted the mask mandates, I was like, whoa, let's not get too hasty. Let's keep another few months. Huh? No?
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you ever wish you would say to some people, like, what the fuck are you looking at?
Oh, all the time.
You yeah. should get a funny t-shirt that says, your staring problem is becoming my problem.
Yeah.
That is a laugh riot.
That's a really funny t-shirt.
People
like that.
Will be staring to like read all this wording.
Yeah, and maybe like,
do you mind?
Maybe like Kathy underneath
reading
it.
Reading your sword.
Kathy like stressed. Yeah. Like sweat marks coming off her head.
I like that.
Wouldn't
yeah.
that be funny?
Okay. Let's get it printed.
And then on the back it could say, yeah, I got a message for you on the front of my
starts
shirt.
Starts with yeah?
Yeah. We got to get into some advice.
Yeah, let's get into it.
You said you had some advice that you wanted to ask us for before we got into the nitty gritty.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
So this has never happened before
on
this podcast.
No, this is unprecedented.
And you would think we'd have tried it.
Yeah, actually, you've come up with a really good segment for us, Val. Thank you.
But if anything, given the length of our intros, you can tell how much we try to avoid the very idea of advice. Try to avoid the premise of this podcast at all
costs.
Yeah,
so this is wonderful. Maybe we'll do this moving forward. What is the question?
Yeah.
Okay, so I went on a date last night, and it went really well,
mm-hmm.
and he's charming, he's a gentleman, he's very nice, he's good with the banter, very important.
Yeah, love it.
And
The chat,
the witticisms, you know.
Yeah.
It's
got
light.
Good chat.
it's dainty, it's light, it's fun. But later on in the night, he told me that he was polyamorous, and he's like got, he told me he has 3-4 partners, I think. Already.
Wow. Interesting.
He has one main girlfriend
okay.
and 3 others.
This is a
wait
real
a second.
Charlie's Angels situation.
This is the same. Maybe this is the same person that wrote us last week with Adam Christie. Remember?
Yeah, his big question was, how do I get my girlfriends to also become poly, ideally with one another?
But he had 3, he was dating 3 women.
Yeah.
That's
a blonde,
the same number.
A brunette, and a redhead. Ninjas all.
Sorry, so you said this guy said he's polyamorous and he's got 3 girlfriends right now.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Interesting. Yeah.
So I'm in a position where I'm a trans woman. I don't know if your viewers know that yet, but I'm entering into the dating pool and trying to raise my standards where I'm not just, I end up hooking up with so many guys that are revealed to be like, yeah, by the way, I have a wife, so I can't.
Oh, God.
You know? And
yeah.
I'm like, you should have fucking led with that. Yeah. I'm so easily fooled, you know? I got tricked all over again. But so I'm trying to hold higher standards is what I'm saying.
Right.
And I'm trying to, like, really go for what's important to me. And I want something exclusive. And I want something precious like that, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
But
that's
he's
in
like
accordance with your values and your preferences of, yeah.
Totally. But he's, like, the first guy that has been honest with me.
Right.
And I see that and I'm like, wait, stick around. I don't care
and
about your harem.
And of course there's a catch. Of course he's great with banter. He's honest. And then 3 girlfriends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always the case with dating
catch.
Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, classic. So you're wondering, how do I navigate this?
Yeah. What do you guys think?
Oh my gosh.
It's so interesting, Val.
It's also going to take a toll on my self-esteem, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, you have to wonder, not competitively, but you're like, where do I rank?
Right. Oh, yeah. And like, would you ever, exactly. And then I know that I would be I'd have to see them. I'd have to get eyes on them. I'd have to creep their social media because I'm so in the business of comparing myself to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously we all are as comedians. It would eat me alive. I'd have to know about them. Yeah. So yeah, that's one thing. It's like the mental exhaustion of that, of the competition or whatever.
And you have other questions like, do you all have to sleep in a big, big bed?
Yeah, and it's going to be like two and two with the feet together like Charlie's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like Willy Wonka grandparents.
Is it a Willy Wonka grandparent scenario or is it like a California King where you're all kind of like in landscape side by side?
Yeah. Do you all have to eat slop and gruel like in Willy Wonka grandparent world?
Yeah. Do we have to stay in that bed until our legs cease to work?
Yeah, until someone wins a ticket, and then how are we going to pick who goes?
Yeah, you've got to find out how important a ticket is to this guy. Because if it's too important, that's a red flag.
But I've got some date follow-up questions. They're kind of meaningless to but where did you go on the date?
We went to the local on Roncesvalles. In the back patio, the cute little back patio.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great place. And then so I think the reason he told you that up front is because he sees it going somewhere, right? Because if not, then why would he say that to you?
Yeah.
Right? Because why would you bother? If like, you know, it was a Tinder date. Was it like a Tinder date?
No, I met him at a show a really long time ago.
Oh my God, it's organic.
Yeah.
Oh, real that's interesting.
World real meeting? World.
That is so unique. But I was going to say,
a thousand years old? What is this, the old world? What is this, the before times?
That's how I met Elliot.
What, in the real world?
Yes, yeah. Crazy. I've never had a Tinder account ever. I've never been on the apps in my life.
Carlin, I created her.
I mean,
from
there's a very.
I 3D printed Carlin at the Maker Bean on Bloor.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
I used my 3D printer.
I don't mean to gawk at Carlin from afar, but with her measurements, I do believe that she would be printed by a nerd. A 3D printed by a nerd with her perfect feminine measurements.
Yeah, I printed out.
Built like a Barbie.
I set the 3D printer to 6 feet tall. I said, give me the tallest woman you can make.
But that's what
I said, make her Croatian as the day is long.
But isn't that what the guys in Weird Science did? Like they just printed the most hottest babe they could think
of. Yeah, and that's even before 3D printing.
Yeah, that was a normal printer, like a brother printer.
A brother printer. But this is like, this is a 3D Maker Bean exclusive. You can go to the Maker Bean on Bloor near Dufferin.
Why are we promoting the Maker Bean for free?
Because I've been drinking coffee there a lot recently.
Oh, God, that's Nerd Central.
And they got
Central.
Lots of, it is Nerd Central. And they got lots of 3D goods that you can get for Christmas or for a holiday. They had Easter cards that said Happy Easter for 3D
printing.
It doesn't
look cozy in there.
And you can print yourself a nice Croatian gal.
But anyway, so Val met this guy in real life. The date went well. I think that something to focus on is that he wouldn't have come forward with that sort of delicate, hard to deliver detail or information about himself if he didn't see it going somewhere.
Oh,
so that's
these poly people are always telling people about it.
Okay, well that's a good point too.
It's, you know what? Yeah. You know, polyamory is the best thing that ever happened to vegans. Because now the stereotype is shifting. And soon stand-up comedians will just be going after poly people all the time.
Okay, here's my advice off the top of my head.
I'll tell you this. When the parrot said, "Polly want a cracker?" Yeah. Nowadays, that parrot
Polly wants four.
Yeah. Polly wants the whole freaking box.
Polly wants a whole sleeve of Premium Plus.
Yeah, Polly wants the sleeve.
And Polly better be careful because those things will constipate you so badly.
Polly doesn't care. Polly's putting in work.
Polly wants a sleeve of salted top.
Oh, Polly wants to know what you're into. What kind of crackers do you like?
I think that because it's so early on and you felt like there was chemistry and there was good banter, I think it's too early to rule. Okay, because if you just, you, how do I put this? It might just be a situation where you want to spend some light, no, not a lot of strings attached, a couple other dates with this guy. So I think it's too early to get hung up on that detail because when in my experience, when you're dating someone and for a first date, and you know, there's so many things about every person that could be a potential deal breaker, red flag,
yeah,
world of hurt, etc. But I think it's too early to worry about that, and maybe see if, worst case scenario, you could get a couple more fun, light, bantery, cute Roncesvalles dates out of this guy, and kind of enjoy being in that dating pool with someone that's actually like cool, not fucking married, deceitful loser. But then there's a risk there of falling in love, and then you'd have to deal with that polyamory thing.
Yeah.
I think you just enjoy it and you get into it. You wade into this one. It doesn't seem like, I think your gut is saying that you don't want to run for the hills. You can follow that gut, and you don't really have to worry until if you start thinking, well, there's red flags, but I'm going to stick around.
Yeah.
Then until that's when you can come to us for advice.
Yeah, come back to us, because I'm actually dying to hear more about, I love gossip. I love dating gossip. I don't miss being single, and I'm very happy girl, but I do miss the kind of like those weird scenarios where you're like, what is this? And like, it was just one date, but there's this and that. Like, I'll never forget going on one date with this guy who lived right across from my very good friend on Shaw Street. And it was like a really good date. And he was really hot. And like, everything was going well. And like, I was really into him after the first date. And then I was at my friend's house who lives across the street from him. And we were smoking butts in like this weird, like kind of near her front lawn. And I'm like, yeah, like he lives right there. And then this girl walked up to his door and knock, knock, knock on his front door. I'm like, who the fuck is that girl? So me and my friend Nicole retreated into the shadows in between the two houses, smoking these cigarettes and spying like there's a girl going to his house. Like, is he like seeing other people, whatever? And this girl knocks and he comes to the door and they're chatting. I couldn't tell if they're flirting. And my like heart started racing because I'm like, oh God, like I'm already in love with this guy after one date. Now, like, is he like this? Is he on another date? What's going on? But then he just simply went to the door. They were chatting. She never went in the house. He ran upstairs, got something, gave it to her. And some money was passed. I'm like, oh, phew. He's just a drug dealer. Thank God. Thank God. I was so relieved. Wow. I was so fucking relieved.
Another entry into your winning dating history.
Yeah, Val, there's a lot of talk on here, but look, when you said, oh, guys are, you know, secretly married, this and that, I feel you, like...
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
The dating pool is so abysmal.
The number of women I've dated without telling them about my long-term relationship. It's time for some advice.
Okay.
So this is a question that we got from our Google form.
We love our form.
If you want advice from us, you can find our Instagram or our Twitter page.
Yeah.
How can we help podcast? How can we help pod? And you can submit anonymously.
It's always anonymous. We have no idea who you are.
We don't want to know.
And we don't want to know.
Based on these questions, the less I know, the better.
Yeah.
I don't want to bump into any of these sad sacks and freaks that are submitting their questions. Please submit your
disclaimer,
questions.
Disclaimer, no one that has ever submitted is a sad sack nor a freak, and they're all...
We've had, count
pillars of the community.
Five raving incels.
Mark, that was beautiful. That was a beautiful timbre.
Wait, that was supposed to be six. I was trying to do the five golden rings.
Because it's five.
Yeah. Five other things.
So what's our question this week?
Okay. Hello, Mark and Jackie. I am intensely fascinated by ghosts, but also so scared of them. I would like to have a memorable ghostly encounter, but I don't want to get attacked by a vengeful spirit or whatever. How can I summon / find a ghost who is guaranteed friendly without risk of stumbling upon a nasty one? Please help. Three hearts.
So the question is...
They believe in ghosts, but they're afraid.
But they're scared.
They want to have a memorable ghostly encounter. I'm assuming some sort of like seance or whatever, but they don't want to get attacked by a vengeful spirit. Now, I know to people who truly don't believe in ghosts, which is many, many people, this sounds very silly, but as someone who is scared...
Yeah.
Of ghosts.
You mean.
Me.
Yeah.
Like, when I stay at Carlin's dad's place and it's an old, old house, there's like... A painting of a child on the wall. Who's that child? I think it's just from like a thrift store.
Oh no.
But when I have to wake up at night, it terrifies me. And when I'm going to the bathroom and walking through the creaky halls, I whisper, I mean you no harm.
Are you being serious?
I'm
right
being
now?
100% serious. I fucking get freaked out when I'm in old houses alone, or even if I'm not alone and other people are asleep.
Right.
I get like convinced that somehow time is going to warp. There's nothing scarier to me than looking into a mirror in an old house at night, or even not in an old house, a mirror at night, because I'm just convinced that something else is going to appear.
Mark, I had no idea about any of this about you. I had no idea.
Yeah, I've harbored great
fears. This is shocking
fears.
To me because you know you're what it so is. Rational all the time. It's, which I'm not saying you're not being rational, but...
Well, no, I am being very irrational, but I think it's like in my dreams, my recurring nightmares, something becomes real if I think about it enough.
Right.
Which I think comes from the movie It. Like, I think it literally comes from being a kid and watching It.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
where
the
clown would appear... If you thought about him too much.
Right, right.
But you know how hard it is to like not think about something yeah. once you start to think about it.
Yes.
So it's kind of like you're willing it to happen. Almost yeah. like when you stand on the edge of a cliff and you're kind of like imagining mm-hmm. over and over again, jumping to your death or falling to
right.
your death. So that you almost feel like, oh God, am I going to do that?
No,
that's how I feel about like conjuring ghosts with my mind.
Right. Cause you're, it's manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm scared of looking out a window of a dark house at night because you can't see out.
Oh yeah, that's
if the lights are on.
Scary.
That's what scares me. What's your take on ghosts?
I'm like, first of all, when it's like a cottage or something like that, and they have one of those backyard that's just the one wall is all window.
Oh
and
yes,
it's like pitch black out there.
Yeah.
Terrifying. That scares the shit out of me.
That is so.
That's like
scary.
That's from that movie You're Next. Do you remember that one? You're Next.
No,
it's like
no.
an indie horror movie from like 10 years ago. Big window like that. Murders.
Yeah, because it's like deep sea. You know, a shark could just appear out of nowhere and you don't see it.
Yeah, until
right
it's
there.
Right
somebody
there.
Somebody could just walk up and knock on the window and like, what do you do?
Ooh, that would
what
be.
Do
oh my
do?
God,
that
a knock scary. Would be so scary.
A knock would be so scary and such a good teenage thing to do.
Yeah.
Just walk up to an Airbnb at night and knock on the window.
Oh my God! But you get killed. Someone would have reflexes. When I was a kid and we would go to Niagara Falls into the haunted house, like Screamers or whatever. My dad couldn't come into the haunted house with us because he was afraid that if someone, you know how they like jump at you and go, ah! Like the actors in a haunted house, they like, ah! And like grab your shoulder. My dad was like, I will not be able to help but lay someone out and punch them out.
That's like a really cool way to pretend you're not just a scaredy cat.
Yeah.
Like, I'd probably knock someone out if I went in there. So I'll just hang
no,
out here, girls.
I know that was a real reflex because there was a rule around the house of don't sneak up on daddy.
Yeah, dad'll, dad'll
like
assault you.
He's just so tightly wound. I don't know what's... I mean, he's got a lot of unresolved trauma. As a dad does.
Yeah.
Sure.
But Mark...
Well, your dad is Steve-O. From the Jackass
crew. Oh my God,
crew.
I wish.
So he's, yeah, he thinks anytime someone taps him on the shoulder, they're going to electrocute his balls or something.
My advice to this person would be, as we all know, through the zeitgeist and the, you know, of what we know about ghosts, if they die in a bad way, you know, a horrible way or an injustice or something, then they're an angry ghost.
Yeah.
So you've got to go to, if you want to encounter a spirit, but you don't want it to be a malevolent spirit, you have to go somewhere where they died having fun. Like maybe they died on a roller coaster or like somewhere fun.
Yeah.
Or maybe they
one
died.
One of those roller coaster deaths that's fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like
all
they didn't know it.
Their heart exploded because they were just excited.
Yeah. Like go somewhere where someone was having a really good time and died like on, yeah. Some
like
kind
a,
of,
like an ecstasy overdose.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until the
at
ghost
a
will
foam
be like,
party
oh
or
my
Cabo.
God, you know you have the most beautiful eyes.
Yeah. Their unfinished business is that they didn't have enough fun.
Yeah.
And now that's what they're trying to do in the afterlife is have more fun.
Yeah. And like, that would be the best ghost.
Ghost dies bad. Ghost is mad.
Yep.
Ghost dies fine. Ghost wine and dine.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that you will get wine and dine by the ghost?
Yeah.
But then you know what comes out of that with the ghost?
Oh, yeah.
69, unfortunately.
Wine, dine, and 69, ghost style.
And like, you're giving a lot during that 69, but you're obviously not getting a lot in return because they don't have like a material physical tongue.
Yeah.
Oh, but they do have a material physical groin that you're going at?
At that point, you're just kind of doing crunches on your bed. Pretending there's
a ghost
above you.
Yeah, it would be amazing core workout.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that'd be my guess is you have to find a spirit that didn't die in a horrific way.
Mm.
Yeah. But how do you conjure? I don't really know how to. I don't know.
Well, you get a seance person, right?
Oh yeah,
well, that's
that, that person's got to be like a party girl as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to get a chill seance leader.
Yeah.
A chill medium.
I hope we gave this ghost person some good advice, coming from three people that I don't think dabble in the dark arts that much.
No. Did you ever dabble in the dark arts as a teen?
No.
Ouija?
I did light as a feather, stiff as a board once at a party with my bullies. They invited me to a party and we did it. And I remember sitting there being like, I don't have to do this.
With your bullies.
But did they bully you at the party?
No.
Oh.
It was weird. I used to go to Lithuanian school every Saturday.
Okay.
And Lithuanian dancing. And we'd drive from Whippy to Mississauga every Thursday and Saturday to do this shit. And they like antagonized me from JK to grade 11. I was just this, I don't know, the target for them.
Oh, were you not Lithuanian enough for them?
I don't know.
No one ever is for these bullies.
Yeah, exactly.
I got bullied for that too. And I'm not a bit Lithuanian, but and they weren't either. All right. Now it's time for the segment called What the Pros Knows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this one.
Okay.
Where we compare our advice to some professional advice. In this case, that of Abby from Dear Abby. So we're going to read the question that Abby got, and then we're going to give our advice, and then we're going to find out what Abby says. So here we go. Cool. Dear Abby, I am a 23-year-old child of divorce. For 9 months, my father has been dating a woman he was seeing while still married to my stepmother. My youngest brother, age 19, and I have yet to meet her. If they marry, this will be Dad's third marriage.
Holy Lord.
While I love him, he deeply hurt not only my former stepmother, but also my mother, because he cheated on them both multiple times. He excuses it by saying he had no other choice.
What?
End of paragraph. I recently moved back to my hometown after living in New York for 16 months. At some point soon, the three of us, as well as my middle brother, will likely have dinner together. I'm afraid I'll lash out at her and possibly lose my father in the process. I feel like a child when he tries to explain his behavior in an indirect way. Must I accept this new woman as my father's partner or risk him dropping out of my life? Signed, Revolving Doors.
Well, I'll say. Oh my God, these are really real, aren't they? These,
yeah,
like,
that's like, tough.
That is tough. But my first, you know, I always have a knee-jerk reaction to these questions. And my first one here being, if your dad is willing to fucking drop you, shun you from his, or disown you at the drop of a hat because, like, a parental love, and I know this isn't always the case, and this is, you know, this isn't a perfect world, but parental love should be unconditional. This fucking guy can't, if you are upset that he's hurt your biological mother, hurt your stepmother, creating all this instability, hurting women, cheating on women, and you voice that and he's like, well, see you never, then he's a fucking asshole. That's like, I feel bad for this person that they can even, you know, worry about their dad like cutting them out of their life like that. But that comes from a very privileged place on my part, where I have very supportive, unconditional love parents that would never, ever, there's nothing I could murder someone and they would be by my side. So I'm coming from a privileged place here. But first of all, yeah, I would say don't worry about that. Don't worry about him disowning you, like, you know.
Yeah.
There is based on him saying he had no other choice.
Yeah, that's there a real is nugget.
An alarming lack of accountability, yes, from this guy. Yes.
I already forgot about that line. And that's so funny.
And so I feel like if she were to take issue with this new relationship, the dad would probably be quick to be like, well, fuck you then.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I had
not
no choice.
Take any accountability.
Yeah, you're right.
I explained it already.
Asshole.
I had no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. You're right. It tracks with the rest of what we know about him, that he could possibly do that.
You tell me a way around fear. This. I'm married, but I want to pork it with another lady.
So where's my choice?
I got to go get separated, get divorced, go through that whole rigmarole? I want to pork her now. Where is my choice? Where's my...
Yeah, this man has
Obama.
No agency in this. This poor man's back is against the wall.
He's done all he can. He's tried nothing. He's tried not communicating. That hasn't worked. He's tried just doing it. He catches nothing but flack. So where does he go?
Compromise?
We can't.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, but we can't be mad. I another thing of advice I would say is you can't take umbrage with this new girlfriend, because she's just like your stepmom and she's just like your mom before her, probably. She's just another chain, 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 link in the chain, right?
We'll be right back.
That's what Aretha was singing about with the chain.
Was it?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I found out I'm just another link in your chain.
Chain of fools.
Yeah, like, because it's like, it's just, he's just repeating the behavior with all these women. The stepmom, at one point, who you seem to love and want to protect and care about her feelings,
yeah,
was the same woman that this is now to your mom. It's a chain of events.
Yeah.
And the nucleus is your fucking dad.
Yeah.
But again, we can't blame him because he had no choice.
Yeah. And that's the thing we shouldn't overlook here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, don't be mad. My advice is don't be like, I would say, you know, don't be mad at the woman. Don't rope her into this because she's just like your stepmom and just like your mom at the end of the day.
I agree with that. Yeah. She's like, she's allowed to make her own choices. I mean, I would fault her a little bit for
because
knowing
she
what
knows.
Situation she's getting
right.
into.
But then the stepmom must have done that too at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. And the heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah. This yeah. guy, for some reason.
This damaged dad.
But these dads are the ones that are, or these, not dads, but these men are always the ones that women fall for these guys somehow.
Yeah. If there's one thing we learned from F-Boy Island.
Right.
It's that the F-Boys are more appealing than the nice guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what are you telling this person, Mark?
I mean, my advice is very different from yours. We can't blame this dad. He's blameless. And by his own words, he's blameless. And I have to take a man at his words. I believe men. These fucking whiny witches had a good run with this prince of a man. And that's just nice, you know? He's spreading himself around. I would say this to this young woman. If anything, well, yes, you're right. Obviously, don't. If your dad disowns you, I mean, it's tough to say because he's clearly bad.
Yeah, he sounds like a bad dad.
It's a bad dad. If you can't be honest with your dad and he's just going to be bad, I don't know. Make a new family for yourself.
The pattern dictates that he's going to wind up cheating on this woman again.
Yeah.
On this new one.
And that
like,
fucking rocks. That rocks of him that he keeps getting away with it.
He can't keep getting away with it.
Well, it will catch up to him. It must at some point.
Well,
it
can
up to
now. She
yeah,
can call
yeah.
him out on
yes,
this.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah. He, yeah, exactly. I think it's time for her to say something because she can't be harboring these feelings her whole life. It's just going to snowball. What kind of relationship are you going to have with this guy into his later years if this is all bubbling up?
But who knows? Maybe he'll become an old man who's, you know, balls don't work no more. And then he'll settle down a little bit and just maybe on his fifth new wife, he'll be so tired of the change that he'll just kind of become chill, and then you can build some semblance of a relationship.
Oh
with
my
him.
God! You know what's so funny? You say that when I was dating this guy for a long time, who, well, not super super long, but it was serious enough. Lived together, and he was so unfaithful, and he was always unfaithful, and I would always like put up with it, deal with it. And I remember having that exact thought of thinking, oh God, I wish I could just fast forward in time to when we're both old and he's got sown all of these wild oats and we can just be settled down together. Like I was like wishing my own life away and wishing to be old, like wishing my youth away so that this fucking horny, like leading with his dick fucking chump could be then an old man with like, that was just like, I'm too tired to philander. Like, that's sick.
Yeah. And all you have to do, all you have to put up with now is that, okay, he's going to go make eyes with the ladies in the bay makeup area.
the perfume ladies
at the bay. But that's the extent
of
his philandering.
That's all. That's the only steam he's got left.
Yeah. He's not going to do anything about it.
But what would you tell this person? Sorry, I feel like we interrupted you, Val. What would you tell this person?
My advice is pretty close to yours. I feel like there is a confrontation that needs to happen sooner rather than later.
Right.
If she's feeling all of these things, which she has a right to,
yeah,
then she should vocalize them. And it's going to be a very emotionally charged situation having them all sit together. So maybe that might not be the time and place.
Yes, you're right. I agree.
Especially when, like, she's got to suss out this other woman.
Yeah.
And find out what her character is like. So I would say save it, let this be an information gathering experience, and then have that private conversation with your dad about this kind of thing.
So sound advice. Yeah, we don't need to do this at the restaurant. We don't need to do this at, you know, Cagney's or whatever.
Cagney's.
Is that a restaurant?
I don't know.
But you know what? I can actually
sounds really plausible.
I think it was in Guelph, but I can kind of speak on experience of this as well, because my grandfather was kind of a guy like this. My dad's mother
Bella.
Died. Yeah. And he was remarried in 3 months. After my dad's mother died in 1969, 3 months later, he was not just seeing someone else, remarried. Yeah. And then when I was a teenager, and this, the woman that he remarried was my, for all I knew, grandmother, because she was the only grandmother I ever knew on that side. And then she had dementia and was in a home and was completely far gone and, like, you know, wasn't herself anymore. And then during that, he's dating the lady across the street, Betty. And I got really, like, irritated. I remember finding that out and being like, how can he be dating Betty? When, like, he was actually, he tried to call this other woman before he called Betty, this other one across the other side of the street, be like, hey. And she's like, get out of here, Frank. I know what you're up to. And so then he called Betty and was like, will you be my girlfriend? And she's like, yeah, sure.
Wait, but what's the word he always just said?
Me.
Yeah, me. Yeah.
Yeah, like, me. He's always like, me, me. Like, just me, like, my God, like, my
me. Me, me.
So he calls Betty and she's his girlfriend. And I was had this rebellious feeling of, like, you know, that's not fair to Nana. And he's, like, being, like, such a dog. And I was, like, mad at Betty. I knew Betty my whole life. But, like, now she's my papa's girlfriend. Okay. And I remember, like, being at a lunch and being like, hi, Betty. But then, like, you know, Betty kind of was with him for the last years of his life. And who else was going to be putting up with them? What, we're all gonna take turns going out there and hanging out with them? Yeah. Like, we were happy, you know.
I love the idea of your grandpa losing a wife and just turning to the nearest woman.
He literally did.
Being like, me.
Yeah, yeah, me.
Me.
Yeah, yes.
Now.
No, Frank.
Turns a bit more.
Yeah, turns to the adjacent lot. Literally, the adjacent lot of property. You? And then my...
Such a simple man.
Oh, yeah. He was just of that ilk that you cannot survive without a woman. But after my grandmother died, like my biological grandmother, who I never knew, like she did all the cooking, then he was a very sudden death, like a very unexpected. He was suddenly this man that with three kids that was like, oh, fuck. So he remembered building a couch. He was an upholsterer for this spinster that lived with her crazy mom in a kind of gray garden sort of situation. And he remembered building this couch for her a few months earlier, Elsie. So we went back and was like, remember me? I built your couch. Anyway, my wife just died. Can you come? And then they were married like instantly. Wow. And she was, and then she was all of a sudden the stepmom of these three insane children, one including my dad. Anyway, so what I'm saying is, I was really irritated with Betty when I was like 15 years old. Oh, this bitch. Ew, she's like taking my Nana's place. Please do take my Nana's place.
Yeah.
Like, because this writer of this question... You want to be looking after this guy when he's old and ancient and you're having to, you know, take care of his needs and get him around and drive him to the store.
And he has to keep reaping what he's sown, too.
Yes, yeah. You make his bed, lie in it. That. Exactly. But I like your advice of confronting outside of the momentous dinner. Shall we see what really happened?
Yeah, let's find out what Abby said. Dear revolving doors, if you want a relationship with your father, it's important that you not lash out at whatever woman he is with, whether it be his fiance number 3, 4, 5, etc. This isn't as much a question of accepting this new woman as it may be accepting your father for who he is.
This is really
siding with me. If things eventually turn out as I suspect they will, you may choose to drop out of his life.
That's it?
That's
it. That was
sorry.
It.
She really phoned it in there.
That's Abby for you.
Yeah, she kind of hinted as I suspect they would be without actually spelling it out.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If things
what
turn
suspect?
Out how I expect them to.
Which is?
Anyways, if you
which
want
I
more
will
advice.
Take to my grave. Yeah.
As always, my suspicions are my business.
So wait, she said if it turns out as I suspect, then you will have to cut him out?
I guess, yeah.
So
yeah.
She, meaning I think we can... We can assume that she means that he's going to cheat on this one, too.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus Christ, she must have been taking a half day that day. I love that we put so much thought into it and she did nothing.
Yeah. I feel like we elaborated on what basically she was saying.
Yeah. I think
I feel
we
pretty
fleshed
validated.
It out. Yeah, me too.
It's that you might have to accept your father for who he is.
You that, love this for him.
And that, I love this for men. That, I do think that that's the key here is that this parent is stubborn.
Right, and they're not going to change.
They're dug in, and they're a little bit fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And they're not going to change. So the question isn't, how do you want to live with them? It's like, do you want to have a relationship with them?
Right.
And that's all reliant on you. If you want to have a relationship with them, you kind of have to play by their rules.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if you don't, they'll be more cool with cutting it out. So anyway, you can either have a philandering dad or you can just not have a dad.
Or just, yeah. I want to know if she... Maybe she can start this nice kind of support group that meet in the church basement every week with all of the dad's past wives and her biological mom and her stepmom. And they can just have a night. Maybe that can be her new family.
She could get a little ex-wives club going with some of these ladies. And
yep, Bette Midler. Not Stockard Channing. She died at the beginning. She killed herself.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker was the new wife.
Maybe a Diane Keaton is in Keaton. There.
And who's a third? Bette Midler, Diane Keaton, and Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn. There you have it.
It's a solid roster.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful roster. Huh. Even the other woman, Sarah Jessica, is great.
It's time for celebrity advice.
Okay.
Now, Val, you might not be aware of this, but we have a wide range of celebrity friends, and they need advice, too. So this person has written us from an unknown locale, and here's their question. Dear Mark and Jackie, I'm a middle-aged man... I like this already.
Ally.
I am going to feel... Mark's like, you're right. Whatever you're about to say, you're in the right.
Change nothing, honey. I'm a middle-aged man who lives with his mother. We have an okay relationship, but if I so much as look at a pretty woman, she goes bananas and insists I commit murder. Also, full disclosure, my mom is me in a wig. LOL. Anyways, how can I throw off the heavy wig of mother and move on with my frickin' life? I just want to run a motel like a normal guy, and if I commit a murder, it should be because I want to, not because of mother. Arg! I don't know. My life is pretty good otherwise. Am I just being whiny? Norman B.
Holy, that's a heavy one.
That's heavy.
If I had a nickel for every time.
It's a common question that we get. So we could just regurgitate old advice, but I feel like we...
But we should think about this a discreet situation.
Yeah.
Wow. So he just wants to be able to gawk at women through the peepholes of their showers, was it?
Yeah, without mother going nuts. But he also wants to know, is this a problem that he has to deal with, or is this just like one of those little... things you have to deal with as part of being an adult.
Yeah, it kind of speaks to what you were just saying about the last question about sometimes our parents, even if they are just iterations of our own selves in a wig and a dress and they're dried out corpses in another room, mm-hmm. are stubborn.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so you've got to wonder, do you want... It's not how are you going to have a relationship with yourself in a wig, but do you want a relationship with yourself in the wig?
Yeah, so you have to accept your mother for who she is, a vengeful, jealous wig and a voice that you hear.
And a dried out, somehow preserved corpse in the attic.
Yes, and a skeleton in the attic wearing a second wig.
And if I remember correctly, she wouldn't hurt a fly. She wouldn't hurt a fly.
Oh, mother wouldn't hurt a fly, but she'd get old Norman to kill a million of them.
Well, you know what? I think that we need to take a look at the deeper seated issue here of feeling the need. And what is that need of gawking at unsuspecting women that are paying for what they are understanding as a professional, clean, safe hotel room?
It sounds like we're taking the mother's side here. The murdering
I believe
mother.
Mothers. I believe mothers.
Believe mothers.
I think there's a clearly blurred line between what he wants and what mother wants, you know?
Okay.
So maybe needs to do some soul searching of, like, is he murdering for his own enjoyment?
Oh.
Or is he murdering just to appease his mom?
Great point.
Okay, you know? I think we have to take him at his word when he says mother's making him do it.
Okay.
So
this is Mark believing men again.
Yes, yes, I am. But that's all we have to go on. Norman tells us that mother's making him do it.
All right.
Now, just because he's mother when he wears a wig, obviously that blurs things a little.
Sure.
Obviously that blurs things a little. But we mustn't get away from the question at hand. Now, mother wants him to murder anytime he feels a sexual urge. But that's mother, you know. We all have mothers like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom hates it when I get a sexual urge. I know it really sticks in her craw.
My mother found my laminated porn pages in the bathroom and told me don't leave them out anymore.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Who laminated them? Who the fuck laminated those?
Have I never told
you
about my laminated porn?
No. Did you...
It's the only hard copy porn I've ever owned. I went on a Quebec exchange when I was in grade 9. I stayed with a grade 11, and he was a little rogue. And he would like try and get me drunk at night. One night he wanted to go play Edward Scissorhands with garden shears on the neighbor's hedges.
Oh my God. Actually, he can come and do that to mine anytime.
And then he took me to a porn part of the video store. And then he was like, we're going to rent porn. But he said it in French. And then...
Louer le porno.
Uh-huh. And he was just like a real bad influence, like a textbook bad influence.
Sounds like it.
And then when I got home, 2 weeks later, I got a manila envelope in the mail addressed to me.
Oh my God.
It was four laminated 11 by 7 sheets of porn.
Where on
huge,
earth?
Did huge.
Yeah, those are huge. Like, those remind me what you're describing of, like, the phonics charts that you learned to read off of.
Maybe they I've blown really them up in my mind. And they might have been normal magazine size.
Is that something you can do on your own, or do you have to give it to somebody over a counter and be like,
yeah,
I would
I'm
like
thinking.
These laminated.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But they were like, basically, he turned porn into placemats for me.
But I mean, if it's the only porn you have access to, that's smart to laminate it.
Take good care of
Otherwise,
it.
Otherwise, yeah. It's going to get all raggy and worn
and
creased.
It was
kind of gross
how he was like thinking ahead for me and my coming.
Yeah. Ew.
He didn't want me to come all over this.
You know what?
Porno.
I hate the word come, and I think I just realized I hate the word come. I think I hate the phrase my coming even
my coming.
More.
My precious little comings. So I was like, and I stashed them in the back of my closet.
Right.
And then eventually I took them out and I started using them for their dirty purpose.
How
in the
did
bathroom.
Your mom or dad not be like, what did you get? What was that big envelope you got in the mail?
When I finally, one night I forgot them in the bathroom after I was jorking it.
Sorry, that's really dumb.
I know.
How in the hell did you forget these in the bathroom? Like, and where were they in the bathroom? Like that you could leave the bathroom and not see that they're there.
I don't know. I think it was just like, I don't know. I just left them on the counter.
Oh my God.
Post-coital haze, you know?
Yeah.
I was
yeah,
in a post-coital haze,
right.
Yeah.
Stumbled out, yeah. out of the bathroom. That was wild.
Can I tell you my embarrassing getting caught with porn story? It's really fast.
Oh, please.
I think I knew my brother had these magazines and I wanted to get a better look. And like, I think he had so many, but I like took a couple, like stole a couple and was like, so, oh my God, like mind blown by these magazines. Hid them under my mattress, and then he didn't even like know they were gone. I don't know how long they were there for, but then we were moving and my parents had hired movers and I had totally forgot about these things, and I wasn't there during the move because I was a little shit. I was like 12 or 13 years old. I'm like hanging out with my friends. I'm like, I'm not there helping with the move. And I left my old house in the morning and went back to my new house later that evening after like biking around with my friends all day. And one of these fucking movers was like, Hey, come here. Yes. And he's like, I found your magazines under your mattress and I put them in that box right there. So make sure you're the first one to open that box. It's your stuff. Okay.
Oh, that's so
I know, like such a nice man, but I wanted to die. Like yeah. This stranger, this big burly man telling me that he'd found my like Hustler or like really dirty magazine. There wasn't like a Playboy. It was like, what was that other one? Not Hustler,
Penthouse?
But no, not Penthouse. Not Swank.
Fuck Barn. Fuck Barn.
Is it Fuck Barn?
Not Fuck Barn. It was called
tit?
Like... No, it was called like... not Preservations.
President's Choice.
I don't remember what it was called. It was really dirty though.
Yeah.
And I was so embarrassed.
Muff.
I mean, that was...
yeah, but that's so... Anyway, where were we?
Where were we? Well, we were advising Norman Bates on whether he has to change a goddamn thing in his otherwise perfect life, whether he should confront mother.
Confront mother is what I say.
Confront
I'm
mother?
I'm a newly confrontational person. But you got to talk to her. You've got to work this out because you can't just be going around willy-nilly killing people because at the end of the day, it's your career that's going to suffer.
That's true. Yeah. If you want to be a successful motel owner,
you can't
have murders on your resume.
No.
Yeah.
You can't even have murders on the property, let alone you are committing them yourself.
Yeah. It's just like bad behavior for like that's going to not get you a 4-star motel
rating. Yeah. Think of the freaking Yelp reviews.
Think about your Yelp reviews. I'll tell you what my Yelp review would be. 0 stars. I got frickin' killed by this guy in a wig after he looked at my wife nude.
And zero stars. Look, and I don't want to like, and I'd pile onto that review being like, also the wig was so terrible and unconvincing.
Yeah.
Old, matted, ratty.
Saw your hairline under it.
Wasn't even a lace front.
There was no cleanup.
Yeah.
Where were the maids?
His drag was not snatched. He was untucked. Was this drag or like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
A children's pantomime.
Yeah, like you're slapping on mother's old dress and mother's wig. Okay, let's put a little more work into this.
What are you trying to say, you know, with your drag?
Yeah.
I have mommy issues. We all have mommy issues.
Yeah.
That's so unoriginal.
That's right.
If I remember correctly, the one scene where you kind of see Norman as the mother coming, like wielding the knife. Am I making this up? But I picture in my head, like the nylons were all baggy, like kind of his stockings were like falling down or something. Just really sloppy.
Sloppy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put on really haphazardly.
I feel like you don't, my advice is you don't want to wait till your parents are dead to finally feel like you can be yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think Norman needs to take a stand and stand his ground and say, this is what I want. And I'm a grown man.
Yep.
And
I want to peep, mother.
But yeah. I will say this. We all love a peeping Tom, but nobody loves a peeping mom. And that's just something to take with you, Norman. Well, that's our show.
We've done well today. I think we've done perfect as always.
I think we gave some good advice. Val, where can people find you online or otherwise?
Follow me at Alval Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And I have a solo podcast of my own called Podgis, P-O-D-G-I-S. Mm. It's just me rambling, no real structure, which I admire about your...
Thank you very much.
But that's a touchstone of rambling, is there's no structure.
Yeah. You know, so if you like free-spirited nonsense for 45 minutes, then check out Podgis. And I'm on Drag Heels. If you go to Vimeo, you can buy the season of Drag Heels. It's a beautiful show. It's very wholesome.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
A lot of places to find Val.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for the beautiful advice and being on our show.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Yes, thank you.
And tune in. And don't forget, we're not proper therapists, but that's your problem. You know what you were getting into.
Yeah, you little pig, you little dog.
Piglity pig and stink pig.
Now get back to your sty, you little freaks.
But come out of your sty next week for the next episode.
Every Wednesday we release them. Submit your questions at Instagram or Twitter in our bios. There's a link there to our Google form. Thank you, as always, to our producer, Stefan.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you to the Cuckoo Clock for being absolutely
so quiet.
Quiet as a dormouse today.
But the Roomba
picked up the slack.
And we'll see you next week.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.